Was that a sexist segue?
Well, no, not yet. But it could be. Hi, and good morning.
Good morning. It's Positively Revolting.
And here we are.
We are here this morning.
It's 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn. That was Andy Partridge talking about the Church of Women. Thank you very much. And now we're here this morning with the lovely Teresa Dark Lady Reed.
Good morning, you too.
Do you get your mic up?
My mic up? Oh, well, he didn't turn it on enough. It's not quite as up as...
There we go.
There we go.
I meant physically up.
Okay.
Now we are...
Levitate.
And so...
We're here this morning. Friends. We are here this morning. Dear friends, we are here this morning.
The Church of Women, it got me in this mood. I don't know.
But I'm an atheist. What does that put me at? I don't believe in women. And I don't think the GOP does either, so I'm in bad company.
Just because you don't believe in women doesn't mean we don't exist.
Well, that's entirely possible.
Just saying.
That's why I'm an atheist. I don't know. Sure.
Whatever. Anyway, we digress. And it's so early in the show today.
I'm a bad guest. I should wait my turn. I'm sorry. I'm giddy from lack of sleep.
As are we all. And perhaps most of our listening audience as well.
Oh, I hope so.
So, you know, this is the morning that Lynn and I decided to look at the current sort of fog that is creeping over our society, our culture. It's sort of the next wave, if you will, of sexism, misogyny, and sort of a puritanical pendulum swing. And this is concerning. I am concerned. I am beyond concerned.
I am over it. I'm tired. Eve Ensler did a little thing that kind of went viral about being over. She was over rape. She was over people saying that she should have a sense of humor about that and that women don't have a sense of humor, even though she said, I know lots of women who are really funny. They're just not amused at having penises put inside them that they did not ask for.
There is no comedy section in this bookstore. It's a feminist bookstore.
Not true.
Well, exactly. You know, why can't you?
I did hear I heard a female comedian actually make a joke about rape that was funny long ago, and I can't remember what it was. But what I'm over is this new wave of misogyny.
Absolutely.
Just a waste of our time.
Absolutely. You know, and I know that perhaps it is tiresome to once again bring up...
Visit this area.
Well, it's tiresome, I think, to have to visit this area as often as we have. I've been doing this talk radio program for 18 years now, and Lynn's been doing it with me for, I don't know, three, something like that.
Something like that.
And this is, let's just say, not an uncommon topic, but it's one of those that every now and again it rears its ugly head, as it were, and it's just one of those things that's like we have to bring up public discourse and say it's time to talk about these things really plainly and really matter of factly. We are sexual beings. Women are sexual beings. We have no need to apologize for being sexual beings. And the idea that this bloated sack of protoplasm, to borrow Ren and Stimpy's phrase...
Who are we talking about?
Who could I be talking about? Equates women who would like to have basic health care coverage, which includes control over our reproductive health, to have women who think this is just perhaps, well, civil in a industrialized country to have sort of basic health care coverage that is realistic and pertinent to our lives, to have women who believe this be called sluts and prostitutes, and wherein he can allude to my arse, where he can say that therefore he gets to watch videos of women having sex because they want birth control.
Which would be a violation of some obscenity laws, by the way. I mean, working with the adult industry, it gives you a different perspective because I'm thinking, first of all, this is part of this right-wing attempt to stir up resentment about the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the other includes, of course, LGBT individuals.
It's a big list.
It includes people with melanin. It includes women. And there's my joke has been, and I don't think it's a joke, is the GOP jobs plan is get the women out of the workplace, replace them with men, but then ship the younger ones off to war, and then you can move those brown inner city kids into the janitorial positions so you don't have to worry about those men having lost their jobs. And then simultaneously, you've got Rick Santorum vowing to take porn off the internet, and you've got the high holy god of the GOP and right-wing nutbags saying, oh, send me your sex tapes, but make sure and put them online. And again, being inside the industry, I'm going, well, what about the 2247 regulations that concern models and making sure that they're all 18 and over? And this man is encouraging people to potentially, you know, run up against federal obscenity standards. So, and then we get, oh, well, I wouldn't have used those words. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to talk about a prostitute and a slut, you can't call them prostitutes and sluts. Come on. There's got to be more, you know, gentlemanly ways to communicate disapproval of female sexuality.
I don't know. We can all be prostitutes and sluts. That's not the problem for me. It's the legislation. I mean, they can...
And it all is of a piece,
yeah.
Isn't it?
They say that like it's a bad thing. But it's the legislation against women's health care or... we were just before the show talking about this new business in Arizona, mm-hmm. the 2526 or 2625, and I am sorry if I don't get that exactly right, but I tend to transpose numbers, where your employer can ask you why you're using birth control.
How do they know? That's what I want to know. And what does that mean? I mean, I have an IUD. I also have my tubes tied and one ovary, so I'm triply protected here.
taking no chances,
that's
dark lady.
Well, the IUD is for non-procreative reasons, mm-hmm. because I had a 13-centimeter endometrioma, which was kind of like a little alien baby, and so that took an ovary. But
well, you used to just be able to have that and just say, I've got it because... I do.
Well, it used to be that you didn't tell anybody unless they were going to put their penis inside of you, there was some medical reason to mention it. So I'm wondering how they even find out. What am I supposed to go to confession each morning? And before they'll allow me into the office, I let them know what prescriptions I've added?
Well, this is, again, about contraception health coverage. So I'm quickly reading a news article from ABC. The state bill would expand the right to deny contraception health coverage for all employers who carry religious beliefs. So it's not just churches. It's not just...
Well, they don't just carry insurance now. Now you carry your religious beliefs as well.
Right. So,
but where does that end?
Well, it doesn't, and that's the problem.
And it's not just contraception. What Jehovah's Witnesses? Do I have to pay for any kind of surgery coverage or anything that involves blood transfusions?
Right. Where does this end? And obviously, you know, women are a very easy target because there is this whole milieu right now that is attempting to shame women into being non-sexual, attempting to shame women into being lesser beings than we truly are, and to return to some state that is imagined, you know, really. Of some yesteryear when family values and Father Knows Best were the name of the game, and everyone was happy because we had a productive Western civilization that, I don't know.
Everybody knew their place.
You know, yeah, right. And again, people who are the other didn't exist.
Well, and if they did, they were someplace appropriate. You know,
were
the coloreds were over there,
right.
And the women's, they were somewhere else, and ideally not like anywhere near each other.
Right, so. Right. I mean, and other, yeah, the other was firmly placed in other land, you know, right? So we had like the cleavers, and then we had the other, and the other is marginalized and pushed. And that is not the world I want to live in.
Well, even if it is the world we live in, the other is like 90% of the world, and a big part of what has happened, thanks to things like community radio and the internet, thank you, internet, is that we've been able to find each other and go, well, there's a hell of a lot more of us than there are of them.
Well, I want to invite listeners to give us a call this morning and join our lively discussion. Jump on into the fray. It is a quarter after 8 in the morning, and the number to call is 503-231-8187. You can also find us on Facebook, Positively Revolting. You can also email us, Gmail, and that is positivelyrevolting@gmail.com.
I'm sitting here ready to read them if folks want to have questions that way. But give us a call, 503-231-8187. It's a call-in show. Call in.
We're using sex to get attention here, so
right.
Well, what else can you do? You can't give it away.
Not anymore.
Because then you're a slut. I want to know how she's a slut and a prostitute. You know, it's like, look, prostitutes are professionals. They're out there, they're working, you know, they're contributing to the economy. Sluts are freelancers, aren't not, well, you know, a freelancer, we like to get
really
paid, but we don't
definition.
Expect it anymore.
Well, there is that. there's an article in Salon currently, that is called, in fact, Slut, Should We Reclaim the World or Word or Banish It? I have to say, I have always been fond of claiming words that people are afraid of.
Yeah.
I actually have just about never identified as a lesbian. I'm queer. Queer feels right to me. Lesbian, well, I don't actually fit the definition in any of a number of ways. Bi, sure, fine, but who, you know what? Queer. Queer.
You don't appear Grecian, you know, at all.
Yeah, so. I've really never been to Lesbos. Never. And the poetry I kind of like, but still. Queer. And I remember taking quite a lot of heat for advancing the use of the word queer, especially when I was a student organizer, and the vice dean actually dinged me and tried to sanction me for using hate speech.
For you self-hating
talking,
queer.
Talking about, representing queer students. So I don't have any problem with claiming the word slut.
I did a
as a woman who is comfortable with sexuality and sex and has no problem saying that pleasure is good.
I gave a presentation once in Las Vegas during a lifestyles convention called Slut 101.
Nice.
The guy who was doing the fishbowl thing came in afterwards and said, I know never to go up against you. And I said, you can't compete against the word slut. But what I wanted to encourage people to do is consider... To me, slut means that I enjoy my sensuality and my sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, you can do that as part of swinging. You can do that as part of polyamory. You can do that as a monogamous person. You can do that as a person who's only having sex with yourself. The point is to enjoy yourself, not feel shame, not be inhibited by shame, and to give in to the pleasure and the health of it.
Don't go to the shame room.
Right.
That's exactly it. And you know, regardless of how you want to choose to or feel like expressing your sexuality, the point is it's yours.
Yeah.
It's really yours, period. So the fact that any politician wants to legislate about it, the fact that any preacher wants to tell me what their God thinks of me, offends my soul.
Well, they can tell me whatever they want, and I have the right to tell them to shut up, but when they try to legislate that. And that's why Santorum scares me especially, is that he's essentially let us know. I appreciate his honesty. I really do. Except, of course, as regards Senator Ensign, who he just kept his mouth shut while Ensign was, banging one of his staffers, and who was married to another of his staffers, and he ruined their marriages. But they don't get the right to make those decisions for me because I'm an autonomous being, and I have reasons for what I do, and they don't necessarily need to know what those are.
Absolutely.
Are you talking about privacy?
I'm talking about privacy, yeah, I know.
Isn't that
a Fourth Amendment violation? I mean, am I not supposed to be safe in my home and in my body? Yes, I realize that.
It's a quaint idea.
It's privacy. What was it? To the Ninth Amendment I was reading the other night. That's a nice one that doesn't get mentioned much.
I was going to say, you just bring it up, and I'm like thinking,
what the hell is that?
Wait, I'm going through them all. I'm counting on my fingers.
I believe it basically says the government has the right to give you more rights than are enumerated here. That's how I interpret it. And that's what I'm thinking. These are people it was more than 200 years ago. They go, oh, the founders didn't want us to be having abortions and all these other things. Like, you know, well, the founders didn't know about internal combustion or, I mean, the world is much more complex.
Well, abortions were still happening then.
Oh, yeah. They were just a lot. Well, if you do any genealogy, you notice that those fine, upstanding Christian men often had multiple wives over a very short period of time, but a lot of kids that didn't necessarily make it past five, but...
So we have a caller.
We do. And I, before we get to the caller, I just wanted to say, I just have to question, as we look at this new wave of sexism crashing upon us.
I love new wave. Oh, wrong kind.
Not this kind.
Oh, sorry.
We're not talking flock of seagulls.
It's
We're
like
talking
new.
Something else. So, but I just can't help looking at the timing and the fact that we are in election year and the fact that we are in GOP
Look at this shiny thing over here.
And the fact that we have these three contenders out in front of anything else being a Mormon and two Catholics.
And one converted Catholic.
Well,
As a Catholic from, you know, not the ejaculation, but from the ovum, I find I'm really offended by Newt. It's like, I want to know if he takes communion. If he and Callista take communion, then they can officially be told, I don't have to listen to what you have to say because not only have you had divorces, but you're a cheater. You're a serial cheater. Don't be lecturing me.
You know, it seemed ironic to me anyway. But I just want to throw it out
His
there.
His narcissism
that as
knows
we,
no bounds.
Well, you
got
to have a certain amount of that to run for office, and
Absolutely.
Especially president,
Absolutely.
Really.
Absolutely. But
to just point out that, in fact, you know, when it comes to keeping women in their place, you know, there's the Dominionists, the Evangelicals, the Baptists. Sure, they're all of these
not just and that's fine with me, but they're Calista's wrong about my place.
Sure.
And Callista's hair, every one the helmet. Is in place. That is like they are not allowed to move.
There they Botoxed her hair.
They Botoxed her hair.
This is perhaps full disclosure, Lynn's a hairdresser. Okay. Let's go ahead and take that caller.
Donna.
You're on the air.
Good morning.
Donna. Good morning.
You can cut me off if I start to ramble, but I'd like to weigh in on this.
Please do.
I am I'm over 60, in my early 60s, and a woman. I have a deep voice, so I don't know if you knew that or not. But
altos are cool.
Okay, thanks. But the word slut is almost a joke. Are you kidding me? I got called a slut because I shredded the cheese instead of put it in diced little chunks.
Well, that is pretty slutty. I mean, when you think about it.
I know. Margaret Cho said,
I'm so ashamed of myself, you can imagine.
Oh, good. That's all right, then.
But I raised three sons, and I was a single mom for the most part. Obviously, they had a father.
They're all criminals, right? That's what Santorum says. They're all criminals, right? Okay.
So, they're half Mexican. So
they're officially half criminal.
Right, so they're full criminal, whatever, but actually one of them is just finished his PhD in philosophy.
Well, right. There you are, there's proof.
Blah, blah,
thought
you know,
crimes.
They're all well-educated, wonderful men. But regarding the vagina, I think I'm really glad that the protoplasm blew up because the women who are my kids' age, they all take contraception, of course, but they don't know what to think about the abortion issue because when it was introduced to them, it was through the campus, you know, high school campus groups that would come. They would come to the high school campuses and show, you know, and play the recordings of crying babies. And
that would make me want to have an abortion. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so it was really disturbing for them, and they haven't really had to think about it because they have contraception.
Right.
Well, now they have to think about it, and I think you're going to have a whole bunch of enraged. It's just going to add to the 51% of women who are already pissed off, you know. So I, you know, as an older woman, if I were childbearing age, I'd probably go, I don't know, I'd hate, you know, I'd get in jail, I'd go to jail for what I say. But,
I think your age should stop you. Just, Donna, you
please
go
keep
for
thinking.
what you want to do.
I will keep that in mind, okay?
Okay.
But anyway, so I think it's in many ways it's a good sign because it's unleashed a whole lot of good energy from women. So, and that's from an older woman's point of view, and I'm just kind of not very active. In some things I am, but
Well, I think the younger women have their activist spirit's been kind of atrophied because they've grown up in a society where contraception was just part of their reality.
Exactly.
And so they could focus on that abortion issue, not thinking that it's going to slide into this, well, you shouldn't even be having sex, young lady.
Right. Exactly. And then if they start to do the research, they don't have to go very far to see what a back alley abortion is.
Right.
Even in, especially in Portland, you can go back to the 50s.
Right.
It's pretty stunning. So, but thank you, ladies, women,
babes, chicks
that are participating in this. It's really, really wonderful, and I hope that.
Hey, thank you for calling in.
Keep up the good work.
And congratulations on those boys.
Thank you so much. They're great men. They're occupiers and all kinds of things.
Oh, rock on!
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
And should we go right to another call?
Let's do that, because the bases are loaded. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Again, you can hit us up on Facebook as well, Facebook.com/PositivelyRevolting. You can email us, PositivelyRevolting@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on Twitter.
And who are we? I'm Ani. I'm here with Lynn.
Uh-huh. And Teresa.
Dark Lady.
And thank you very much for being here at this not your usual hour.
I'm not even replicating DNA at this hour usually, so I was pretty impressed. I appreciate you letting me ramble on and rant, because that does make it all worthwhile.
We would have you no other way.
Absolutely. Well, there's could, because there is no other way.
I was going to say it would be
futile. It's easier.
Francesca, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm sure you guys know the whole love the fetus, hate the child thing that's going on.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
The right to birth movement.
But my point is that I think this goes beyond 1950s puritanical stuff. This is like the American Taliban.
Yep. Yeah.
They're revisiting the Violence Against Women Act.
Right. Yes. And though they've stood behind it in the past.
Right. In addition to all the other insane issues that are being brought up with women's health care and stuff, and I'm just curious, like, if, you know, there's, like, certain towns or states that outlawed Sharia law, I wonder if we could use that against them and be, you know, in regard to some of these. Oh, God.
Well, I think that the Christian right is jealous of the Muslim extremists, because they've been so much more effective at establishing the exact same things that in their wet dreams they would establish here. I mean, we go through Old Testament, which the Bible, the New Testament, is supposedly, you know, refers to and is still held important by people who like Leviticus.
Right.
You know, there's very
shellfish
specific
eaters,
things.
Beware.
That's right. Mixed fibers.
Out.
Did you shave?
No shellfish.
No, it's not spring yet.
Yeah. Well, I like to wait until it's warm.
I'm sorry. We digress again. Go ahead.
But no, I just, I can't, I feel like I'm, like, it's a nightmare.
Well, there's
like,
a
not reality.
A young woman committed suicide recently in Morocco. She was forced, I guess, I don't know if it's by law or what, she was forced to marry her rapist. And there's a piece on this in Alternet. And several of us pointed out, well, this is in the Old Testament, actually. That was how they resolved these things. You've taken something away from the father, and that is the marriageability of his daughter, so you need to marry her and make
it right.
You
broke it, you bought it.
Right. And so I was saying this is a tragedy, but this is exactly what we're going to see if these people start putting their Levitican, which is very much like Sharia, laws on us, and that people don't like having those associations. Well, I don't think they're wanting to do that. Well, they're drawing upon misrepresentations of observations about homosexuality. They're misrepresenting a lot of different things and then downplaying others. You can't pick and choose the law of God, it seems to me.
That's true. Sandorm's scary, very scary.
He's a believer.
And so the Supreme Court is as well. And just, you know, we're so, like you were saying earlier, the younger women are used to, you know, things being normal. Or I'm 42. I'm used to things being normal. And everything that, you know, in the past we were like, oh, that could never happen. you know, look at what's happening so far.
Never once again is a long time. But my issue still here is that we are having to spend time on things that were that we thought were settled.
Well,
obviously,
they weren't. Settled. They're settled law. You know, was it Griswold was what established that we have the right to purchase contraception?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the thing. Santorum has said he would like to revisit Griswold.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you for the show. And,
yeah.
And have a great day.
Keep
well,
the
thank
faith.
You, Francesca.
Thanks.
Bye.
Cheers. You know, we need all of us, to be loud and to be outraged and to say, hey, we're not going back. We're not revisiting the Dark Ages nor the Cleavers, and we are not creating the American Taliban. We are, in fact, going to remain active and celebrating our sexuality, celebrating our bodies, celebrating the way we want to be in this world, the way that our creator or non-creator, our DNA has evolved us. This is
what the chaos theory wants us to be doing.
This is where we're at. And it's okay for self-acceptance. We don't need the approval of a patriarchalist god. And we certainly do not live in a democracy that wants to legislate our right to be sexual beings out of existence. Just saying. Handmaid's Tale is coming to mind pretty strongly these days once again. And I see a message actually from the other Teresa Mitchell, host of Press Watch, has messaged in to say that it's reminding her of the 2012 version of The Handmaid's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
And is also pointing out that the anti-woman backlash goes hand in hand with anti-trans, anti-gay mm-hmm. agenda, all different arms of the patriarchy.
It's the other.
Yep. 503-231-8187 is the number to call if you'd like to join us.
I think a lot of what we're getting, too, is if you will, a natural result of the fact that we are winning. I like to think of it as the death rattle of this kind of ignorance. And, you know, when a creature that big dies, it will try to take down as many things and people and living creatures around it as possible. And because I think this is a minority of America. And
oh,
I think what they're tapping into is resentment and fear, which has been brought about by this corporatism. And there's a lot of people not working or working hard for a lot less. And they're looking for, well, we did see this in the 30s. I'm sorry, folks. I hate to, you know, be talking about that mustached guy. But when you find some people that you can focus on and say, you know why everything sucks? Because of these guys.
Well, and also just in this country in the 30s with the unemployment thing, there was almost a revolution. The only reason that they had the public works and the New Deal is to keep a revolution from happening. There were farmers.
Idle hands.
Well, there were farmers in Idaho who were not letting, who had banded together and were not letting them repo their farms anymore. Things mm-hmm. were, it was a very militant time in the country. And the military wasn't as big in those days. There was a lot of little safeguards that the country, that they have in the National Defense Act. There are all sorts of little safeguards that the powers of be have going on right now.
And
to
the taxes
keep that from having.
In those days, if I recall, wasn't it the top income earners were being taxed at 90%? And they were still very, very wealthy.
30s, but.
Well, it was back in the old days. It was during some prosperous period, which would not have been.
That was in the 50s. They were taxed in the 90s. We had infrastructure.
Oh yeah, I remember infrastructure. It's that thing that's crumbling now, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've seen. I want to point out we have an astute listener who has commented on our Facebook page, Kate, that the girl in Morocco that killed herself, her father and the courts forced her to marry her mm-hmm. rapist. By being raped, she had lost her saleability.
Mm-hmm.
She was worth less to her family, to the family, as a business transaction. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but see a resonance between that. And there's an article in Alternet, 15 Ways the Bible is Used yeah. by Christians and the GOP to Control and Malign Women. It's a great article that does have 15 tried and true misogynist arguments taken straight from the Bible. And, number three, A raped daughter can be sold to her rapist. If a man happens to meet a virgin who is not pledged to be married and rapes her and they are discovered, he shall pay her father 50 shekels of silver. He must marry the young woman, for he has violated her. He can never divorce her as long as he lives. This is taken from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 22, verses 28-29.
I'd also like to point out that there's nothing said in the Old Testament about abortion. I believe the only references have to do, again, with it being a property crime, essentially. If you cause a woman to miscarry, essentially, you need to repay a certain amount of money because that was a product of your female chattel, essentially. And it was not a murder. It was not a death. This was something that we could have used to make some money or get in some grain. So if we're going to look back at this stuff, we got to be realistic. The Old Testament was used quite convincingly to defend slavery.
Absolutely.
And an atheist sign, I don't know where it was, pointed that out, and it was pulled down as being racist, ironically. But it was a real conflict within Christians about whether slavery was ethical or not, and those that said yes were able to successfully argue their point.
It's all through Leviticus, actually. I won't
quote the book.
It tells
Leviticus.
You how to treat your slaves, right. And freeing them isn't mentioned as a viable option.
No. Also tells you what you have to pay if you beat your slave unjustly or if you murder them.
And that's from
it's all down
the
to
laws
shekels
prior
in
to that. I'm trying to remember the laws of Hammurabi.
Yes.
It's directly from that. My history degree has come to some sort of fruition. I'm so excited.
Before 9 in the morning. Dark lady.
It fades impressive. After that.
Trista's on the line.
She is.
Good morning. You're on the air, Trista.
Hi. I'm so glad I got to hear you guys today. I actually have never heard your show before, but I really love it. I've been really livid about this whole thing with Rush. I think it's ridiculous, and I do like your idea about reclaiming the word slut. I think we can do that with a lot of words. But the thing that I think you're really hitting on that I would like to talk more about is this whole idea of fundamentalists controlling women through religion. And I think what we need to get back to, and this is actually a project I'm working on right now, is reclaiming our spirituality as women. And there's nothing that rich, powerful men are more scared of than a female god. And
you mean a creator god?
Yes, a creator god.
Somebody that can actually create life?
And I think we need to really reclaim that as women. I'm working on a project right now called The Girl God, which is actually for young girls. But
nice.
I think women in general really need to reclaim this power again. And there is a divine feminine in every religion. And it's time for us to take that back.
Do you remember, I don't remember when this was, but there was a female crucified Christ that was on display. I know there was one in a church, and people were deeply, deeply offended, and yet women reported, a lot of the women reported that when they looked at that, they had a completely new experience and felt that their understanding of Christ deepened, because for the first time in their lives, they saw themselves. They saw that their humanity reflected. So what one group of people considered obscene, another group of people felt really tapped them into the divine.
Well, and that's absolutely true, because it's crazy being a woman. I'm 37, but I read a lot of feminist books and whatnot. I didn't really relate to it until I had my own daughter. And what I realized is she couldn't relate at all to God being a man. But when I said, well, maybe you have a girl God, she just lit up. And that just got me thinking that a lot of us are really just sort of brainwashed, even if we're not raised in any sort of a church or a mosque or whatever, to really think of God as a man. And that just in and of itself is so hurtful to us. And it makes us just automatically less than.
Well, it's part of the hierarchy within the Judeo-Christian mythos, too, because everybody, it's the Father God, and that men are below but made in the image of, and then below them are women who need that intermediary of the man.
Well, not only that, but then if we're abused, it's okay because they're more important.
Well, and I think Sojourner Truth said it the best in her speech, Anti-Woman, when she said, yes. You know, where did your Christ come from?
Uh-huh.
From God and a woman.
Man, this has been a problem for the patriarchs for a long time.
Well, and keep in mind that some hardcore Catholics believe that Mary was not merely a virgin when she conceived, but the way she was able to retain her maidenhead was that Jesus kind of teleported out of her, that there was no passage through the vaginal canal.
Oh, how many women have wished for that?
Oh, I imagine a lot.
Well, if you really look into some of the Christian theology, there's some quite interesting passages about Mary Magdalene actually possibly being a goddess, the goddess Sophia.
Yeah.
And
not
then,
only
you
that,
know,
but she was probably Jesus' wife.
So it kind of goes back to this whole thing of, you know, slut-bashing women who are powerful to make them weaker.
Well, the power of women, women's sexuality goes far back. I mean,
yeah.
The whole, we have to think back to the once upon a time when people didn't even have the crappy sex ed that they have now, when people were going, how did that even happen? You have multiple incidences of intercourse, and then you have a baby. There's not necessarily a direct correlation. So the whole power of women and the monthly bleeding cycle, I consider religion to be science that's not quite there yet. You know, you're looking for an explanation. Mm-hmm. But just the whole mythos that has surrounded that, when you go back in history, in some cases that was seen as evidence of power in women and the power of creation. And in others, they weaken that. Well, that's, you know, women, they bleed every month. You can't trust them. Mm-hmm. Anything that bleeds and doesn't die.
So those were all the early church fathers. I got to say,
Well, you'll find that even in non-Christian, pre-Christian
the ones that you just mentioned, though, actually are the Christian ones. Augustine.
Well, Augustine had issues.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he had serious guilt issues.
So, but again, we digress. I didn't
so
mean to run
easy.
Our sentence. excuse. I just wanted to thank you very much for your call, Trista.
Oh, thank you.
I absolutely concur as a witch, as a queer witch, and a slut. How many other words can I throw in this morning that will just scare the horses? I absolutely agree that we do want some good images and some good connection with a deity as feminine, you know, because really, let's think about that. Also, I wanted to mention, oh my gosh, it's slipping away from me. You had said, well, you know, it'll come back to me later. After the show's
old
over.
Old age, it does that.
It does. You had said so many good things, and I appreciate your call.
Well, you know, we do all start as female. Before the androgen enters to the embryo and breaks some of those poor X chromosomes. I think that's why guys are in such bad moods sometimes. They got that second X just got snapped right off. So we really should have compassion for the poor things, because every morning those things bleed.
Oh,
in a way.
Actually, it was about Mary, the Magdalene. There's also evidence, there's the idea that she was Jesus' wife. There's the idea that there's so many things, the goddess Sophia. but also, remember at that time, in primary traditions that were still very much focused on the goddess, Astarte, Esther, whose feast is coming right up, by the way, the priestesses were holy harlots, were temple prostitutes, if you will. And sex is considered divine. And there's sacrament that involved sexual acts with the priestesses. And Magdalene is a title of these priestesses. So there's strong evidence to suggest that, in fact, Mary Magdalene was a priestess of, call her Esther, call her Astarte, call her Oster. There's a whole lot around that name. And then consider, if you will, you know, the Holy Harlot, the Temple Priestess, and the Sacred Union with Jeezy.
Well, and then we've got...
Sluts, I tell you. Sluts again.
We've got Mary, too, because it was not uncommon in those days to have virgin conceptions. Oh, golly, where'd that come from? Well, yeah. You know, a visit from a nice centurion who was feeling generous.
Centurion. All right. This is Positively... In case you just tuned in, you wondered what on earth is going on.
What have you started listening to?
It's Positively Revolting of Talk Radio. We're at KVU at 90.7 on your FM dial. It is 8:45. I'm Lynn. I'm here with Ani and Dark Lady, and we're talking all things women, sex, all the good stuff.
We have Kelly on the line. Good
and,
morning,
yeah,
Kelly.
It is a talk show, after all.
You're there. Good morning.
Reclaiming the spirituality and using whatever labels we want, but I'm most interested in hearing from you and other women about how we can organize for the next wave, if you will, the new wave. I'm outraged that Romney has just set his sights on killing Planned Parenthood, and I can't believe that Santorum is saying that birth control could be illegal, and I want to know what we're going to do about it. I can't believe how apathetic many people are because they feel comfortable, and I see this as a real opportunity to kick some patriarchal butt.
Vote and work to make it possible for more people to vote, and especially in states and areas where the voter ID laws are getting out of control. It's a way to disenfranchise people. They had a woman recently, an elderly woman, who was not allowed to vote because she hasn't got the right kind of proof of her marriage. I mean, she was in her 80s. It's just crazy.
Also, there's this little thing called the Occupy movement. And it's a very participatory thing. You be what you want to have happen. Get on down to a general meeting sometime and organize some things. It sounds like you have some passion to do this. And don't let us stop you.
I know there's a women's caucus in the local Occupy, which is great.
Yeah.
I also have heard, I don't know the details, but I've heard that April 28th, all over the country, people are going to be going to state capitals for... resisting the war on women, but I'm not really plugged into...
Isn't that also the day we're all supposed to say no to sex with, I guess, with men exclusively? I'm not having sex with any men, so I can't say no to anybody right now, but...
I'm sorry, honey.
Oh, yes.
Maybe by then you will.
I'm sorry. What were you saying, Kelly?
Well, we could say no again.
We can do Lysistrata.
That's what it seems like, yes.
I don't know about the April 28th, I have to say.
There is a lot of stuff on the internet, so, you know, it should be something you can easily Google and go to Alternet.
I'm Googling as fast as I can.
Okay. Twitter, it's all over Twitter.
Okay, well, I got a link. Anyway, as far as what we can do, I mean, there are organizations that have been around doing this stuff for a while. I also pretty much think that it's time for us to do something new. It's a new day. I am a firm believer in street theater. I'm a firm believer in affinity groups. I'm a firm believer in talking to your friends and doing something amongst yourselves. Do it. Take the action. You know, I think that there's some great value in organizing together and coming together as we can, but in doing what you feel called to do. You know, to correct situations amongst your own community.
And speak up and speak out.
Loudly and often.
Yeah. Be uppity.
As much as possible.
Don't know your place.
And I think there's also a time, this is time to call for good men in solidarity to stand up.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. This is a human rights issue.
Yeah, I'm certainly not being exclusive when I say get together with affinity group members. I mean... You know, whoever you may be, whatever gender you're expressing.
All the good men I know are as outraged about this as the women are. And I see this as a real kick to apathy. I haven't noticed anyone being very blasé about it at all. Myself, but maybe I just know strange people.
No, you know good people.
Oh, that's
you know, activated people.
All right. So, oh, look at that. April 28th.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks very much for your
call. If we find an
call.
April 28th, keep listening. We might find. I've been looking at April 28th, and I haven't seen anything yet.
You know, as a former Catholic, too, it really makes me very angry to see the bishops getting so involved in our politics. This is a church that hasn't got its own sexuality. And by church, I'm using the capital C of RCC, Roman Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. This was, you know, this molestation stuff has very little to do with homosexuality and an awful lot to do with the guilt and shame and repression and anger and control and arresting people's development at a young age, which is what the sort of orthodoxy, hyper-orthodoxy can do.
Well, and isn't it interesting how this turning toward trying to control and repress women has taken some of the spotlight off of the child molestation.
Well, sure. And, you know, look at the monkey. Yeah, Don't look at me.
Bright, shiny thing over here.
Ooh, squirrel.
Yeah.
Ooh, squirrel.
Yes.
Ooh, squirrel. It is an ooh, squirrel moment. Let's go ahead and take our next caller.
Gadrilla.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I appreciate very much your straightforward talk about women's sexuality.
Why, thank you.
Yeah, and men should get used to it, because we women are, at least I'm getting just furious, not upset or outraged, furious about a bunch of stupid, ignorant, and ultra-right religious men. I have nothing against religion, but they are nobody to try to regulate my sexuality, which, by the way, these guys, the way they talk, I'm a biologist, they talk treating human race like if we were bees. Bees reproduce by parthenogenesis.
Yes.
Only the female bee is the one that takes care of the whole reproduction thing. But actually, the males have something to do, but we don't.
They
got
pollen
to make
to
a
go
baby.
Collect.
Yes, to make a baby. We need a. We humans need. Have the information from a female and have the information from a male, and that's wonderful. It's the genetic viability and the possibilities of that kind of reproduction is wonderful. So we both have exactly 50% of the responsibility on this wonderful new baby. So I agree with the previous caller, Kelly, that we should do something. So as these guys are... men are trying to regulate my sexuality, well, women should start trying to regulate their sexuality too. But more importantly, I think we should start to regulate their, they need to be more responsible for their 50% contribution of that unborn baby.
Well, there is that.
Really? Come on, guys. It's like...
Well, once again, we see the classic example of, you know, women being vilified and called slut for wanting access to birth control, but no one's talking about men having sex.
Well, that's because they're being lured into sex by those licentious. Yes.
The other thing for those gentlemen, I'm being very generous.
You are.
Yes, gentlemen who are trying to, who approve this type of regulations against my and other women's sexuality, is that this is going to backfire, you guys, really bad, and literally, because then what are you guys going to do? Everything's going to be a terrible, illegal thing. It's like, you cannot just...
Oh, right. Science is so bad, too. It's offensive.
Radio, but it's like, you guys, this is just really stupid. But it really reflects the type of people that is behind this, you know, proposed regulations or new paths in the way we should see morality and all these things they talk about. It's like, you guys, it's not really taking you. Nobody's going to win out of this if you really get it. It's like, but, you know, it also reflects our society. See, all these, not all these, some of the candidates and some of our previous presidents, their whole package of measures and their speeches were about hate. You know, we should hate people, gay people, we should hate people from abroad. I'm from abroad. We should hate the Middle East. It's all about hate, but how about our economy? How about, you know, the real important issues?
Well, that's a thing. They can distract us from that.
So come on, these candidates from whatever party you can be. Talk to me. Besides, okay, that's your belief or that's the church you support. But how about what you're going to do to improve this terrible, dire economical reality we all face, independently of our religion, our ethnical background, our educational background. It's a terrible...
Well, when ISA pulled that, had the initial testimony about contraception and religion, and he said, you know, women had no part in that dialogue because we'd just be talking about it from contraceptive view, I thought, what about all the women of faith who are clergy? Why isn't there at least a female minister or having some sort of a dialogue?
Absolutely. It's like,
Well, thank you so much for your call today, Karina.
Thank you, ladies, for this.
We got a bunch of people still on. We'd like to get someone. We'll see if we can get one more person in, but thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
We'll hear from you soon. I want to also point out that coming right up, 9 o'clock, Veterans Voice presents an archival program on the Bonus Soldiers March, which started here in Portland. They also discussed the Kellogg-Briand Pact, also known as the General Treaty for the Renunciation of War. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia. 10:15, Flashpoints takes a close look at the most recent campaign to paint former Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide as a corrupt and violent leader. Also at 11 o'clock, Robin Shanti speaks with Michelle Jones of Concordia University. She's coordinating the upcoming TEDx conference, a community gathering on the topic Becoming Extraordinary. At 11:30, there'll be a talk by nuclear expert Arnold Gunderson on the legacy of Fukushima. And we want to thank you all for joining KABU. With your support, we can continue to be independent community radio. If, in fact, this does not describe you, if you have not supported us financially at this time, then you can still do so. We would love it. And you can keep us independent and going strong. Just go to kboo.fm and click the tip jar in the upper right-hand corner. You'll be glad you did, and so will we.
You know, you're mentioning the military and women. There's another area that needs some discussion is how the women in the military are being treated. You know, they don't want to pay for abortions, but they've got record high rates of rape. That's not from Afghanis or Iraqis to our women. That's us. Soldiers,
and I got to say, the Veterans Voice program does revisit that topic on a frequent basis, and I love that. Right. I love them for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that does always need some more attention. We've got 2 minutes left. You want to squeeze?
Well, really, kind of one.
Want to squeeze Carl in for a 60-second comment?
And can I encourage people to visit www.darklady.com?
Shameless self-promotion. I told you would have that. Please.
There it was.
All right,
Carl. You got about 1 minute.
Okay. I'm not an expert on the subject, but some years ago, I had a book that was describing the history of the that part of the world where Palestine, Israel, where the Jewish religion came out of. And at one phase, you know, like 2,500 or 3,500 years ago, they had a god and a goddess. And, you know, the scholars can trace that god to the one that is, the one that everybody...
The patriarchal sky god we all know at this time.
Okay.
But and then somehow the woman got dropped out.
Well, that's the patriarchal transition. When we went from basically a cooperative partnership divinity system, if you will, revering the goddess, the mother goddess, as well as the sky god, to looking at a monotheistic sky god, Solamente. Yeah. So it's a transition that happened. There's a lot of writing about it. I suggest The Chalice and the Blade by Rhian Eisler. And go forth and good researching. We are out of time.
We are. And, you know, as for an outro today, I have a little...
Thanks very much, Carl.
Thanks, Carl. Thanks for waiting. I have a love poem by Rumi, as we were talking about spirituality.
Nice.
That is my outro this morning. If the... Lady, thank you so much for hauling yourself out of bed getting down here this morning. Thank you so much.
And again, people can connect with you. How?
Well, there are so many ways, but you can visit my website, darklady.com, and email me, darklady@darklady.com. I'm the Dark Lady on Twitter. It's hard to miss me, actually. I'm everywhere.
We are Positively Revolting. Check us out on Facebook.
See you next
week. Positively Revolting.
Friend us, yes.
You left 1,000 married men confused about their gender. Children ran from their classrooms, and teachers were glad you came. And the sun tried to break out of its royal cage in the sky. And at last, lay its ancient love at your feet. And I wish you would have let it, so the whole world could have died like Hafez, dancing so happily, filled with ecstasy and unbearable divine light.